Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Sponsored by
Boutique Infinity, Tan and Salon, top of the White Rock Road, best on bed shop in the Northern Hemisphere.
August Galanta, Tada, Hana, Kobay, I'm just happy. That's the size now.
Did you ever go to
you a smoker, Roy?
No.
So, no, not a drinker, you're pan air?
No, it was nothing like that. It was nothing to do with the principle. I used to drink away, but I sort of just lost interest in it. The one that was harder for me to give up was caffeine.
Did you not drink?
No, I'd have been going and taking fucking 12 or 15 tins of Red Bull a day.
Would you like to be a coffee man?
No, it was the Red Bull was the one and the Boost and the Monster and all that. Yeah, I've been on a big spiritual journey this last while, but the ayahuasca is just like the last step that I need to do now.
I've heard that, boy.
I done a breathing.
I'm good at actions, but
like a 1 hour session with him and another guy, and we were doing big breathing like techniques until we broke through, and I had my eyes closed and I was getting into these big fits of laughter was coming out of me from just by breathing. And there was a woman beside me, and she was grabbing me like going and she was having it looked like a bad experience, but it was all just a release of like it must have been like trauma inside her coming out. But my eyes was like a fits of laughter. I couldn't control it.
I got
this
fits of laughter one time too. I couldn't stop. Just on and on, and then I was laughing at myself saying, I did fucking record myself.
You got it, didn't you?
I started recording it, and then there was a woman up with me that night that I took them to, and then I was laughing at myself.
You have a woman, did you?
And then I was just sort of sitting and laughing.
I seen a clip of you. Was this after the shrooms?
No, I'm still on them.
Jesus, you look like you're in a bad out state.
Do you know what ones that you took? The name of them or anything? No.
It was a mix of penis envy.
Albino penis envy.
What?
They're the strongest ones I've took, bro. Crazy.
I always started hearing a different language and everything. You see, it's like it's all this gibberish language, but then you have to just know the meaning just from the energy.
That's what it is.
As opposed to
what they're actually saying.
The words.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's the vibe that the people get off of when they're saying the things.
I've seen a whole pile of stuff. And then at all these ones in the mountains then too.
Oh, that's where my favourite spot, the Takings Mountains. When I was in Australia, my uncle came out. He was like, I've got a surprise. And it was a big box of the albino penis envies, but they were freeze-dried. And anytime I take them, I just eat them just raw. But he was saying about, he was grinding them up into a cup and then getting the lemon, cutting the lemon up and squirting the lemon juice over it. And it's supposed to make them like more potent or stronger. It goes, it just hits you kind of straight away.
Just the absorption properties, the subtle spritz either between oranges and lemon, that just makes it a lot, just goes into your digestive system a lot quicker then.
And it felt like we sat there for 2 hours and 12 hours had went by just like that, and everyone had went to bed and woke back up and we were still sitting in the same two chairs at the back talking absolutely.
How long did you feel had went past?
12 hours went by, but we didn't just eat it once. We were having eating some and then talking to, and then having more, and so, do you know what I mean? Because there was that many. He had a big box of them.
See, this is what I think's going to happen to me in the ayahuasca. I keep having, because I've been having like all these different fucking visions that's been happening this last few weeks. I think what's going to happen is that I'm going to see me now, like this tough ancestor, like this person that went in the boat to America and built the good life for everybody else. I think that me, after I come out of that, is going to see me now as like a great-grandfather.
Oh.
Do you know, like a distant relative.
Yeah, you're looking back at an older self or a younger self.
Do you know what
thing.
I mean?
Yeah. I don't know what you mean, lads. I'm fucking...
No, but it's like, it can slow down your perception of time. Do you know, so you could feel like you were gone for 100 years in the space of a single night.
Even ketamine's done that to me before. I took ketamine, too much of it, on my first time taking it. And I went into this mad trip where my vision went, so I couldn't see anything. And I was face down in the sand, so that's probably why I couldn't see anything. But my body had like shut down. But I started going into this trip where I was on a train, and the train was going round and round. And everyone that was on the train were all my neighbours from my street. And they were all getting off the train. They were going, "See you later, Liam. Bye bye." But I was still stuck on the train, and it felt like I was going round this thing for years, mate. Long time, and it felt like I had AIDS. And then when I snapped out of it and came back out of the trip, I was like, "What the fuck? How can it do that?" Probably only about a half an hour. It was when we were all on the beach for the first time.
That's an infinity loop.
Yes, infinity loop. I've been stuck on a couple of them, mate.
That's right. But then you see that'll be some pattern that you've been stuck on all your days then. You know, and it might just be, that's just
coming the light kind of thing.
That's just the nervous system's way of communicating it to you to say, right, this is some, mental trap that you've been in all your days, and then you just break through in it then.
Yeah, and then you start seeing, you come out of it with a different perspective no matter what, every time, like, do you know what I mean? I would definitely recommend, not everyone to try it, but
I wouldn't try it.
Take a wee small dabble before you die. You could live your whole life and you've never done
I that scares me, the thought of it. Just even you saying that, they're on train all the time.
But that was on ketamine, not mushrooms. See if you take, man, you've took ketamine before.
Took ketamine, no.
Ketamine was worse than mushrooms.
Ketamine's
worse than mushrooms. Mushrooms are sweet. Out of mushrooms laughing your bollocks off, mate. You get a good uplifting feeling from it.
Watching his video, that doesn't look like you're enjoying that.
Well, that was good crack, to be fair.
Looked good crack to me. Like,
well, that was after the low, but
yeah.
Right, see, for anyone who's watching, who's lived on the rock the last 10 years, where would people have seen you?
Oh, well.
What was your propel to fame?
Well, there was a wee fat schoolboy with a shopping bag. Oh, God, you wouldn't be long getting frostbite.
That was the first day I seen you, like.
This is the 10th anniversary year this year.
Is it?
Yeah. Can I ask you, boys, see that video? Was any of that put on, or was that just...
There was a hole.
Did you put that on, did you?
Oh, there was a whole script team was brought in just to write
all
these boys from London, they were researching the way.
Had writers for years.
They were researching for years.
So what was it, like a news team?
It's just routine weather reporting in. I was there and that just happened.
That's just mad, like one day you're just going to school, the next day you're fucking a superstar. Like,
I remember it because it was a snowy day and there was loads of schools that were off and you still had to go into school or something.
Were you still at school as well?
Oh, I was still in school. So you're, what are you, 28 or 20? I'm 27.
Alright.
So I can remember when the video only came out and there was a lot of schools in Belfast that were off, and then that's obviously why yous were on the news too, because yous were still in, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, right. But fuck me, 10 years ago, that's mad.
Do you want to try and separate yourself from that sort of clip?
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Or do you not?
You've come a long way from
me. No, it's not that I'm ashamed or embarrassed or anything of it, but at the same time, I mean, when you're going forward and you're actually now in this process of building a real proper business and personal brand, it's just that, you know, Kingery is obviously completely different to
that we
to Frostbutt Boy that way. So, yeah. I mean, it's, you just have to engineer that and just tell that more as and just leave all that as your origin story. And I'm not denying any of it, but at the same time, what you're moving into is completely different now.
100%.
You know, you couldn't have built any long-term career out of the head of that. You would have got 2 or 3 years whenever you were younger, and then that would have been it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like it's like if somebody came up to you and went, "Oh, you're the wee man who wore the wig."
Oh, I can still get that. You'd be like, it does annoy you after.
But you're like, "I'm doing the working class podcast."
But know? I'll probably stick with you to the day you die. Like, people will always know you for, like.
Ach, well, sure, it's all good. Like,
it did go proper mega fucking bad. Like,
blew up, like.
Just for something so stupid.
I know.
It's how you were introduced to the world, basically. You know what I mean?
That's it. But then
but it's not how you're going out. Other words, you know what I mean?
But that's it. But you know, it's kind of interesting then, you know, everybody knowing you, but nobody knowing you then at the same time. And then just this gradual journey that you've been on, just, you know, as you're sort of working out the direction that you're going yourself, and you're kind of exposed then, and everybody sees as you're just trying to build yourself up and sort of all the mistakes that you're making in that, especially whenever it's unexpected fame. It was a bit overwhelming for me whenever I was younger, but now, I mean, I'm completely ready for it. You're just fighting the battles and pushing forward to break through any ambitions.
Coming up to you and like thinking they know you just because of the video that they've seen, when really that's all that they know about you.
Do you know, and the fact is, not wasn't intentional or anything as well.
Oh, it was just by chance. Like,
your voice is very unique. You have a voice like, no, what do you call Ian Paisley?
Paisley, I know.
Where
do the terrorists return to? To the Irish Republic.
Ulster.
Never. Never. Never.
That's the one, mate.
I'd say me and him would have got on, but.
Aye. You'd have got on well, man. No bar.
So you haven't seen Rory. Your face was of a competition page.
Oh, that's right. Well,
he doesn't know, so.
I want to know. He was the face of the ins and outs.
He was the face of a competition page, and then the shafted the fuck out of him. And there were scamming people.
There was these two boys from down the country, David Fogarty and Michael Crowley from Tipperary and from Cork. They got in touch with me. They had got a gambling license and were good to go with one of these competition sites. Now, I had said to break through in that crowded market, it would have to be very unique compared to anything that's there at the minute, but there's no real personality driven competition page. As they had also said to me, they wanted to donate a small bit to charity as well, which I thought was a good way to build like a lifetime consumer base all over the island of Ireland. And I said, look, if you're helping these, you know, families and communities and people like that, you're going to get a feel good momentum around your brand and that. I says, there's no reason that this couldn't work if yous are ready to take the risk. So I said, right, happy days, that's grand. They were going to pay me so much a week. They were going to give me advance to get into the company, and then they were going to incentivize my involvement with funding a business venture of mine that, you know, after the company had got up and going. So that was all happy days. We done all of the promotional content for these massive bundles. I says, look, these massive bundles, the expectation of profitability on these competitions with no established consumer base on a new site, as, you know, frankly, insanity. I says, you need to break the project up more than this.
Yeah.
I says 100 small competitions would make you far more money. You just have to work at getting a profitable product and then scale it up. You know,
instead of trying to do one big massive competition.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the way you went at it?
That was the way they done it. They had these massive tractors and diggers and low loaders and all this stuff. And I says, look, I mean, there's no reason. No, even if you lost a couple of £100 in a smaller competition, at the same time, you know, you can absorb those small losses, build up your consumer base, and you know, you have more to work with, and you know,
I get what you mean.
No, you get the social media content of me delivering that to the man in Belfast, to the woman in Donegal, no, to the boy in Wicklow or wherever, and that's, you know, and then everybody says, this is a real thing. Rory was in that woman in Roscommon's house, and you know, then they say, this is a real thing, and then they do buy into it. That was the way I went about it. But whenever I demanded the clarification of where this was all going, they just shat themselves, and then the competition didn't run then. So it was basically fraud. I had to take them up for, and now I'm looking for fair compensation for me and
Oliver. Basically used your likeness and your name,
yes,
for their own profit, and you haven't got anything from it, and no families have got anything donated to them.
There was a charity.
Was there?
But they didn't donate to them.
Oh, they didn't. I thought that, like, but
the competition, the comment, like copying and pasting stuff on more pages, it wasn't. They were fake as fuck. It was all fake.
But
that's not your fault. You know what I mean? You were just being sound and kind enough to go along with what, because they were telling you basically what you wanted to hear. Sounds to
blowing
me
smoke
like,
up your hole, really, just, and then
for about
you
a month.
Put your name and paste it, and then you're the one. Now you're the worst one in the world.
Aye, that was about that. But I mean, after I had started to demand, you know, a clarification of the direction, then they basically just ghosted me then. Then the competition didn't run then. But then I started getting a case together with the guards then. And
fair play to you, mate. That's the best way to go about it. Like,
but
you know what I mean?
They have probably minimised the criminal damages of what they've done if they are in the process of paying the money back. One of the two boys, Michael Crowley, has took the full responsibility for it. He was the man that owned the gambling license. But the situation is now, he says that the delivery of the refunds is en route. I have a mediator involved there as well to look at the fair compensation for me and all these other people that they didn't pay, which is going to have to be delivered. I mean, there was too big of a backlash for them. They are going to have to cooperate.
There has to be some sort of consequences to come from it. Like,
that's fucking mental. That even got away with for so long. How did they get caught?
Well, there was no secret that the competition hadn't ran. I mean, people had bought tickets and then just didn't happen.
The winner?
They haven't even seen anyone getting drawn for it. You know,
seen a TikTok video of people on calling them out about stuff like.
That's right.
You know how they were copying and pasting like the certain wee pictures in from other pages and stuff.
That's right.
You know what I'm on about?
I know, it was the terms and conditions had been composed with all these different extracts from different competition pages, like Lucky Days.
Oh, that's the one, aye.
That's right. Oh, it was complete cowboy shit. It was like talking to the wall whenever I tried to explain this type of stuff to them.
You should have just done it yourself, wrote them, mate.
Yeah, but then you'd need the gambling license. This
is,
was
that
the,
is that a headache to get?
See, this would have been the issue of me going forward. It would be different. See, it was in the south, so it would have been one thing in the north, but... but anyway.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I seen you on the Shane Todd podcast, and you were talking about the dolphins, and you were in the ocean. What was it? How long for?
For 14 hours.
14
You were in the ocean for 14 hours?
I was.
Why?
Just a warm-up for what's to come.
I remember watching it going, fuck me, because I only learned to swim last year, and I was going, I could not imagine being stuck out in the ocean for all that. I would be dead if it
How
was me.
How did you get there?
Do you know what I mean?
I just swam over to this lighthouse, and then I gave all my... I give all my future political speeches just over in this lighthouse and then just jump back in the water to swim home again and then went
the
back
dolphins
to the Coast
were
Guard.
Any, weren't they?
Hey?
Were the dolphins around here or something, did you say? Or
no, that was just what the journalist says. There was dolphins in the water, in the but water, they didn't pull me all over to the shore. Like,
no, you didn't hear none of them communicating with you in the fucking...
No, it was not really, no.
Oh, I hear dolphins.
Very sexual beings.
So is Roy.
Dolphins
are so Roy. The trainer was wanking it off every day, and then after the trainer got sacked, the dolphin killed itself.
Why do you know us?
Because it's animal cruelty. That's why, like, SeaWorld and shit, it was to keep the dolphins calm. See, because like, they were letting you pat a dolphin, and then the dolphin's going,
What was it doing again?
Dolphins.
Oh, it's, they're very sexual.
Swear to God.
I know, they're very sensual, like, they're very healing.
Have you ever rode a dolphin?
Pregnant women that can help fucking... What is it I've seen? Dolphins? Something to do with pregnant women. I've seen it in the... I don't know. I could be full of bollocks. I could have been one of my chests. But
have you seen it?
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to get it up my... No, hold on here. I need...
I didn't even realise that it was as long until...
Until
the boys in the boat then. I says, what time is it now? I knew that I had left at about 7 o'clock. And they says, oh, it's your boat quarter to 10.
Would that be normal for you to do things like that?
That one was a wee bit standout, but...
Fuck me, Roy. Like,
done a lot
of
mad
stuff. Died, like, hey, you could have died.
They can sense pregnancy in women before they even know. Mental.
How do they know that?
They can sense like a heartbeat or a fetus or something inside the woman's body before, like, say they go for a scan or they know that they're pregnant.
Uh-huh.
A dolphin can sense it. I don't know how, but it's, if you want to see it, I'm a fucking...
And how does the dolphin communicate their knowledge?
Echolocation, it says here. Some theories suggest dolphins may be able to see or detect pregnant women and even their fetuses through echolocation, potentially perceiving differences in echo profiles or fetal heartbeats.
Fucking we go, Roy. So you are an auctioneer?
Yes.
You're on your way to... You want to be a celebrity auctioneer?
That's it. That's the plan. We want to release one song done, but I want to produce a few more of... A series of songs with my auction chant to a nightclub beat. I done a brilliant song along with Garen Noon. It's just, I need to sort out a few issues with a former manager, Joe Jackson, there.
Not Michael Jackson's dad.
Shot to the game, we?
It was, I had sacked him due to incompetency, poor performance and poor behaviour. And
poor behaviour?
Yeah, just took the hand, just overplayed the hand and completely underperformed. Jesus, so
like a bad egg.
Yeah, but there was no right to ownership over the song. It was very clear that the song was my concept and no, I had wrote it and everything else. We did record the video in his place, that was true. But I mean, and Garen, he had give Garen £1,000. Garen Noon, he produced the song, you know. Yeah. Garen,
he's absolutely massive.
He's brilliant.
For anybody that's watching,
delicious.
He let us hear the song.
Can we play it? Can we play the song?
Play a wee bit of it.
It is an absolute belter.
I sat into the group.
What's your favorite meal? What's your favorite food?
Favorite food? Oh, probably steak.
You look like a steak man. Like,
I would be. Yeah.
You look like
peppered sauce or gravy.
Pepper sauce.
Ah, you have to, don't you, mate? Uh-huh. That's a ticket, like, I'm a steak man myself.
I'm a very good cook, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
I love a fillet steak, mate. That's the goat for me.
Prefer the sirloin now, to be honest.
Sirloin's good.
Or the T-bone. You get the both.
Here, well, we're out there at the fucking, we're out in Liverpool out the weekend, and I had my first tomahawk steak. They're fucking massive.
Is that, they cook it in the stones?
It's on the big, it's still on.
You're like on the knife.
You're like a caveman eating it.
They're
big, all right.
I was mauling the fuck out of it, but it was very nice, like, I have to say.
Oh no, it's Kobe beef, isn't it? The stuff that they cook in the stones.
That's right.
The Korean deal.
I've tried that too.
Do you have any women, have you?
A few visitors, but.
Do you? Yeah.
No, but I won't be. That's one thing I will not do is get married.
Nope.
Eh?
That's just
pointless, mate.
That's just voluntary incarceration. Just jail for the mentally weak.
Freedom.
Here, you're going to break a couple of hearts here by saying that. There'll be a lot of females watching this fucking heartbroken hearing that.
But it's all duck or no dinner. That's just as I will not be in any proper relationship until I've all the financial breakthroughs that I want made.
You want the millie first?
He knows what he wants.
The million?
The thing about it is, as far as women's concerned, anything they don't take out of your pocket, they take out of your sanity.
Put everything in your mother's name. That's what the footballers do. Hey. And then when they get divorced, they can't get them for stuff because it's in their mother's name.
Hakimi did it.
What do you mean it's in their mother's name?
So all your assets, you put them in your mother's name. Uh-huh. And then if you ever have a divorce with a woman, she can't claim it because it's in your mother's name.
I know, but marriage is a whole scam. That's one thing. Whenever I am Taoiseach, what I would like to implement is temporary marriage. Let people have flexible time frames. Let people sit, make commitments that they're actually going to stick with.
Yeah.
Do you know, if people were more honest about what they want and what they're expecting to get, then you wouldn't have that same level of disintegration.
Yeah. What way would that work? And do you mean like married a girl one day and a different girl the next?
Maybe not the same day, but maybe for a year. No, bring them in for a set purpose. You need different things at different times in your life.
Correct.
Do you know, and this whole all or nothing rubbish and this automatic notion that somebody's going to evolve at the same rate as you, that you are going to just become, you may be completely compatible just at one stage in your life, but you know that
that's for the full remainder of your life.
You know what I mean? And also to say that, and monogamy, the other thing to say that you're never going to be sexually or romantically attracted to anybody else is just crazy, dishonest. And you know, you can't, love is not a finite resource. So by trying to restrict yourself, you're only going to attract more restriction.
Correct.
But if you opened it up more, then I think you would get better outcomes, to be honest. 100%. And I think if men and women could get over the possessive element of it, I think it
would
be better.
The Western world has changed a lot as well compared to, like, say, the 1970s and 60s when our parents or grandparents were growing up and it was all the one woman and that's her for the rest of your life. Because of the way social media and stuff is these days as well, it's like you go on your Instagram, all you're seeing is girls in bikinis constantly.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a girl, you're going, fuck, it's taking the look off her because it's all you're seeing. And you may not even follow them, but they're still popping up in your algorithm or your newsfeed. Do you know what I mean?
So if you have a woman, are you happy enough for her to fucking...
I probably would. I would say, right, if you want to, I'm confident enough in my own position. If you know, if some other man's going to go and take you out for a night or whatever, that's fine.
See, that's why I wouldn't do a relationship. I would just do an oil
like an arrangement just for some purpose.
Oh, an oil, well, what's happening? Getting out a weekend together and then boom, see you later, enjoy the rest of your life.
You're coming in for a different purpose. Marriage, love and sex are three completely different things.
Oh.
And, you know, and some woman that's good at one might be shite at another.
Oh,
and that's okay.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
You don't want to marry a woman that she doesn't like sucking dick, and then you're not getting your dick sucked the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And then you, like, literally, it's as simple as that.
John, you know Rory, Mrs. was 70, but was 75.
Well, she wasn't a Mrs. She was... She's a basket of bones now.
That is 75.
You're a heart of a lamb.
Hey,
you've a heart of a lamb.
Oh well, mind over matter. But sure. Anyway,
hair like a lamb too, big man.
She didn't fulfill her purpose. Anyway. Oh, no, I don't think I'll ever cut my hair again. You know,
grow for the rest of your life.
Aye.
Jesus style.
Between Jesus, Jerry Adams, Liver King,
Rory King,
that's future Taoiseach.
Where did that name come from? King Rory the Great?
King Rory the Great.
Where did that name come from?
That's just the way I am, like, modelling just an alignment with my political aspirations to seek the office of Taoiseach of Ireland.
It's like the way I'm Liam Martin, but I'm Liam Bo Slice. So
yes.
My character, you know what I mean?
You are looking one day to run for president.
Taoiseach, that's different. That's like the Prime Minister.
Taoiseach Ireland is like a prime, kind of like a Prime Minister.
The head of the government.
Can I ask you this? What do you think of the British Empire, the British government?
The British government,
like, compared
now,
to Ireland, and like if you're saying you want to run for Taoiseach and stuff, like what would you do differently compared to, like, say, for example, just like the British Empire, the British said it the way they've...
Well, I think we've learned a lot of all of our bad habits from them, to be honest. I think we're practically a carbon copy of them. I don't think we've ever really found our independent voice about what Ireland actually wants.
Yeah.
I mean, like, other than a few decorative deviations, our whole system of government is like a complete replica of the British one.
Yeah.
I know, say the way you would have, like, Andoyle as opposed to, House of Parliament, or, like, Taoiseach as opposed to the Prime Minister. But I mean, the whole setup's very, very similar.
Similar, I know what you mean.
But what I'm saying is, if we're going into a united Ireland, and the likelihood is that we will,
I believe we will sooner rather than later. Like, yeah.
But the thing about it is, you're going to miss a huge opportunity to essentially redesign the country if you don't have a strong visionary leader, and I don't see anybody that's positioned to really take that mantle up at all. You've Mary Lou, she sits and talks about it. She says, well, now, we've been very clear. We need a meeting and a conversation and a discussion and a tribunal. And, you know, we can do everything. United Ireland's on the horizon. But, you know,
Jerry the Monk Hutch, he was running, was he, for a seat? For a play.
What would you change if you got into where you're looking to go? What would you change?
And where would we start?
So, what was that called again? Not president.
Taoiseach.
If you got into Taoiseach, what would be the first thing you would change?
The first thing would be everybody in the country would get a vote for the actual Taoiseach. So everybody gets a vote for somebody on their leadership ability as opposed to letting the politicians vote for each other.
So can we not vote for that?
No.
Not really.
No.
It's like the people in with the cabinet kind of and other ministers, they all kind of vote who comes in, who's the new leader. It's the same.
I had that fucking Scooby Doo. Like
I done politics for a while, but it was 10 years ago or something. So my mind's a wee bit, you know.
No, but
I'm not up to scratch with it all.
It's just whoever happens to be the leader of the biggest party.
Yes.
You know, but what I'm saying is, let somebody stand forward and say, right, this is my vision, this is my plan, this is how everything's going to work, these are the people I'm putting in for minister's job. Have people coming in from the private sector and have them going into, like, you know, Minister of Transport, Minister of Economy and all the rest. Have them all coming in and being the, you know, just going for one job that they're actually qualified for.
Yeah. What about, like, the healthcare system?
Right. The thing about health is, right, what really bogs the health system down is two things, is addiction and mental health. Now,
it's overrun.
Not any, still mental health.
Yeah, yes. And especially our one, the Royal as well. It's fucking...
And I think,
but do you not think, and it's maybe a controversial thing to say, but maybe 30, 40 years ago, there wasn't really cases of mental health going around.
I think a lot of it is environmentally unjust. Yeah. And I think if, given my economic policies and education policies, I don't think there would be as much driving people to drinking drugs to the same extent if I was implementing my other policies. Now, and legalization of psychedelics, that is the 100%. Real cure for the mental health.
Well, here, that would be vote that for one. You. I'd vote for you. That would be, vote already,
so, that, so that would be that one. Then after that, and that is the cure for, you know, for nervous system and neurological rewiring. If you go in with the proper intention and have the proper guidance and the right setting, that has shown the ability to bind to all of the, you know, all of the right chemicals in the brain to rewire you.
There was an interesting Netflix documentary I watched where they were doing trials on certain people. I think it was over in America.
Mm-hmm.
And they had them, so they were lying on the hospital bed, and they had someone sitting with them with a book and a pen, and they were just writing everything that the person was saying. So one person was on MDMA, one person was on mushrooms, one person was on, what's he on, LSD, and they're basically just describing what they're seeing and what they're going through. But it was supposed to help with depression.
Yes.
And then they were giving, like, we old women, like, say we grannies, they were putting MDMA in their cheese, and they're eating cheese sandwiches in the MDMA. Just to admit, and they were happy as fuck. It was really benefiting them. They were getting a lot out of it. Do you know what I mean? So I can see reasons for it, a lot of reasons for it.
So that would be the mental health one. And, you know, and especially the thing about it, see, a lot of people that have these mental health issues, a lot of that is they've misconstrued the nature of their own energy. If you look at the symptoms of a lot of mental health issues, and then you look at these different energetic states, like, say, a kundalini awakening of these people that tap, or like autistic people that are able, sensitive to higher energies.
Yeah.
If you frame that in a negative way, that this person's delusional, this person's not wise, you know, that's the way that people frame
it then, yeah.
You know, and then people start that, you know, and society keeps backing that up, your teachers and your family and everything backs it up. And because these people don't understand how to handle their own energy, they think it's bad, it's this defect.
People hate what they don't understand. Exactly. So, so if they can't get their head around it, then it's demonized, really.
Do you know, and then all of the pharmaceutical drugs are focused on suppression as opposed to learning to work with your energy and how you can actually harness it to maximize its benefit, you know, whatever it is for you.
Yeah.
Do you know, but if you change that, you wouldn't have these mental health crises, that's for certain.
Just for example, we grew up, well, our mas and dads and grannies and grandas here grew up when there was a war going on, and the times were a lot.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job.
You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Fucking worse than
the world, right?
And there's nowhere near enough. And I even asked my man, would you have got people like killing them? No, the suicide rates, it's sky high.
It's the UK,
when it has in Europe, if not the highest. But yet, in those times where people were struggling even more and people were dying left, right, and center, and there was a war going on, my granny and granddad said, you used to never be able to get buried in the graveyard if you committed, you weren't allowed to be buried in the graveyard. But partly it's all changed now, but all the rates and the mental health rates are sky high over here now, and it's like the times that you're living in, you're fucking big sofas, no one's getting through up in the streets.
Netflix,
we're cozy,
and
we've
Netflix
got everything, all the resources,
Wi-Fi everywhere.
Swear to God.
I think you're right.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I think we're sort of moving into
times.
We're moving into just that. Weak men create hard times.
A lot of snowflakes as well, right there, isn't there, mate?
I think that one is actually melting. I think that wokeness has been a hit, but I think that one's going down too. I think you're moving to a different type of mentality now, sort of a more hard right thing with the like of Trump and people like that.
David Goggins, stay hard. He's going to carry the boats.
I like him, mate.
He's good. I read his
He's
book.
He's a good chap.
Once I read his book, it just kind of hardened me mentally too, just kind of seeing what way to deal with things. Yeah, you think you've got a hard life until you read someone else's life story and you go, fuck me, I've got it easy. Like, do you know what I mean?
A lot of his too, he put the hardness on himself too.
Yeah,
he did have tough times, but at the same time, he had chose to put himself through a lot of shit.
Oh, big time. Yeah, oh, like running them marathons with broken legs and all. Like, what the fuck?
That's uncle.
Oh, he's a good.
Your legs are broken. He's still. You just keep on.
Can you like how much?
And then the addiction.
How much of a disease?
Yeah, you asked about the health. Then.
Yes, the addiction.
The addiction. That'd be the other thing. I would legalize drugs. I would let you buy your drugs in Spar and Vivo. But at the same time, here's the caveat: with all freedom comes responsibility. If you land into the hospital with drink or drug problems, you know, it's not going to be 999. You'll have to ring a different number for the booze bus.
Oh, because it wouldn't be fair then. Yeah. And recreational use, but not like fucking constantly abuse.
Alcohol is one of the worst drugs in the world. Like,
it's the most promoted of the devil, hey?
And it's the most promoted.
See, a bottle of foggy, like a bottle of foggy, if it fucking is enough to ruin
football
your life,
stadiums
like.
Named after fucking drink, like it's mad, you know. Wait,
what one?
Is there Heineken?
No, what's sponsors? You're thinking
of
sponsors?
No, in the Scottish League, Fans Vaga, the official spirit of the SPFL.
You just sat and told me it does.
I come drop to Glen Gormley.
The fucking glider!
There's no glider goes up north at all.
Does.
You seem to know a lot of women. Have you got yourself a missus yet?
I know them all. I know each and every last one of them.
Do you know fluent Irish? Aye. Did you go to Gaeltacht?
I've been on it, but I.
Oh,
what do you think of Kneecap?
I haven't really followed them a huge amount now, to be fair.
They're from here. They're from West Belfast.
You know
them,
aye.
One of them's from Derry. Isn't it the one that wears the ball
of
clavier?
Aye. Prove it.
Aye, I think so, aye.
Liam would know them.
Oh, they've done very well now, fair play to them.
Oh, they're brilliant, mate. They're flying, like, they're all over the world.
Have you
got...
They produce all their own stuff and all, don't they?
Aye, well, I think they're signed to a record label now, so they've got a good bit of backing behind them, and they would have very good producers are working with them. But I think in the early stages, it was just them and your man, DJ Provi, and some of my favourite tunes is their earliest ones. Do you know what I mean?
Was done... Early days.
Oh, yeah.
All their best ones.
Yeah, Fenian Cunts.
B-E-A-R-T-A.
Go ahead, Gavin. That's the first bit of Irish I've heard him say in my life.
What does that mean?
Cearta.
What is that?
What's C-E-A-R-T. That's rights. Rights. Like, you know, your Cearta then, that'd be your human rights.
Is that what that means?
It's coming as a fuck fight in Garda, 2G Nasta, it's a missile roadcast in me.
I had translated that, and then that auctioneer song, I think I had translated that onto Irish as well.
Did you? Can we hear the song?
Do you know that one?
What's the song called first?
That's Lamb Chops.
Lamb Chops, you want to tell us what it's about first?
It's about these sheep going to their last night out before they become lamb chops. At the start of the video, they're all getting makeup on and they're all in cars and they're getting onto a bus and then they're all in a nightclub then, and then there's me sitting with this huge big fur coat and a green suit and that, like this big sheep god with a pair of sunglasses and that, saying 10, 10, 20, 20, 30, 30, and then the sheep are all dancing and all, some crack, some video.
I haven't seen the video, but I've heard the beat and it's a cracker.
Presiding over the sale of goods tonight, the eternal and glorious
King Rory.
King Rory the Great.
Well, it'll be higher when people are looking, but
75 broken mouth years.
Dance tonight like it's your last.
Not completely vanished.
Your last. Yous are going on the market.
100 now, 10, 10, 10, 110, 15, 15, 115, 15 bud. Broke-mouth yowty, broke-mouth man. 20, 20, can I get a 20? Men are hungry, sheep are plenty. 5, 2 and 5, but 125. 30, 30 here, 135. 40 bud, 5, 4 and 5, 145. Sheep got a calf at 1.5. Taxi for Jacinta at 150.
Last call, here we go.
That's a fucking tune.
I will get the toast happening. Got a better flow than a lot of people about this road that I see getting promoted. Anyway,
I'm not a singer, but you don't have to be.
Nah, you done well there, mate.
That's good,
that's
mate.
Brilliant. Folks, hopefully this song's coming out soon. It's getting held hostage at the minute.
Yep. So we have to get the song. I'm sent the mediator on to the former manager there. He's getting nothing for it.
Yeah.
Do you know, as far as, you know, holding it hostage is concerned, it has no actual legal gravity to assert any claim of ownership. But, I mean, I'll give him a few pound back that he gave to Garen for the song. Do you know, there's a phone he gave me, I'll give that back to him. But after that, I'm just going on with it then.
The least you deserve is to get your actual tune out there that you came up with. Like,
do you know what I mean?
You're not choking to get it out, Roy, are you?
100%.
It's about there.
Thank you very much. Well, but that'll only be the first. I want to get a series of songs out, and that's kind of... It's like an album
or just a couple of songs?
Yeah, it's like a really good marketing strategy because the interesting thing about that is you could adapt that to different musical genres, because all I need is my auction chant to a good nightclub beat. You could go...
You could go country beat. You could go rock and roll.
You could go dance.
You could go...
Do you know what I mean? There's just a few artists that can do that.
You just do that auction stuff over...
Over whatever. Just build a story.
Different audiences every time who are maybe even just a fan of the beats in them genres, then they hear you on it and they go,
very good. But you could. You could literally collaborate with anybody else.
So if...
If you ever want a hand or want a shout, give me a bell.
What does your background again, Liam, with all of that?
Irish hip-hop, Irish MC. I would be more... My bread and butter would be more like boom bop, Irish fucking rap. Now, I don't actually rap influent Gaelic or Irish. You know, I just would rap in my best Belfast slang kind of thing.
I know why.
See, if Liam wrote a wee funny one for me, would you do it with me?
Would I? Well, does anyone want to see an auction one?
Does anyone want to see it? Oh, I'll do it.
Right, we'll do an auction one. We'll see if anyone wants to see it.
Yeah.
I need like a funny rap name.
I have a few sources.
This is what I had says to Gavin. I says, what do you think of this for an idea? That one's lamb chops, right? That's an animal auction, right? What I said would be brilliant. Use sort of more street, more urban with the thing, but we could go with that. I could get like a turtleneck and a tan coat and the Timberlands and all, and we could do it on like a street corner. Then it'd be like a counterfeit auction. Then
I feel like the more diverse it is as well. We're bringing all people together to make the one thing. It will blow up more because people are looking. What the fuck? It's a diverse follower.
What about instead of contraband, you could have contraband
Know if you've contraband goods. Yeah. Do you know how you could be like selling fake passports? You could be selling people like a seat in the back of a lorry for dodgy, a better life.
All the dodgy gear.
All the dodgy gear, but sell it in like a street corner.
Fake fags.
That'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Do you sell it to us?
I but you could be the feathers.
So we come in with our Nicker Max and all on?
Aye. He's like, yo, fucking 50, 100.
Do you know what I mean? And then I'll get the foreground going then. I think that'd be brilliant.
I'd be game, mate. 100%.
Let's do it, right? Gentlemen's agreement. Let's make it happen. All right. 100%.
John, you're going to have to help us out here.
So contraband by King Ray Feet. What is it?
Lambo Slice.
Liam.
Oh, like a Lambo. Liambo. All right, right.
And then Slice, because there was a fighter called Kimbo Slice. So I'm Lambo Slice. All right, right.
Very good. Very good.
Bit of a play on the words, just. But
that's good.
You don't. I didn't name myself it. It was a nickname I got over time, and it just stuck, kind of sort of thing. You know.
Very good. Oh, let's do it. Right, are we making this happen then?
100%.
So contraband.
Contraband.
King Rory Feet.
We'll get in the
Limbo
video
Slice.
Too. We'll do the video with you as well.
We'll have to be in the video.
Yeah, right. Oh, right. So what type of stuff, right? This is the brainstorming session. So what type of stuff do you sell in a street corner? So we go fake passports.
You can sell drugs.
Right, so we can make the song, right? You could have like the...
Clothes.
I like old clothes now.
I like fake
trainers now.
Perfume. Bunny knives. Gordon Ramsay used these knives. He's a brilliant knife here.
I love Gordon. I was watching. I was watching Gordon at the weekend.
He's brilliant, isn't he?
He's so crack. There was these boys in America, and then they give him cheek. Then he took none of it. Then he cut onto this chick, and then. And then it was all raw in the middle. And he says, "Excuse me, my darling, is this the chef special, or are you intentionally poisoning the guests?" And he says, "I'm not going to be able to eat this, I'm afraid. It's raw." And then can you bring this back to the kitchen? Then he's all sarcastic. He's all, "Give my compliments to the chef, my darling." And
all he's those. A legend.
And then they brought it out. Then these pure American cultures. Then they're all, "Maybe you just don't know much about chicken here in America." And then he's just like, right, okay. So let me just tell you. I made chicken for £200 a dish in Michelin star restaurants all over London. The reason there's nobody in this fucking place is because your food is fucking shit. He's so crack.
That was a good impression.
You are good at impressions. Who else can you do?
Who else would we know? What about
Who would you know? Really. Who would you feel confident in doing?
What do we say? Do you know Tommy Tiernan?
Oh,
can you do him?
And so whenever you're delivering the post around Galway. You know, what does that do to you? Emotionally. Yeah.
See the one he was doing right with Roy Keane? That was fucking pretty similar.
That's him. Well, he gets all deep on this.
Do you ever cry?
That's him.
Yeah. Well, and how do you handle it?
That's a baller, man.
Who else is there? What do we say? You know Garam.
Garen Noon.
I'll say, hello, how are you getting on? Follow me, I'm delicious.
Yeah, that's good too, mate. You're fucking talented, like, I'm telling you. That's good.
Could you do Gam?
Right, what would you be talking about? I've only just met you. Give me a topic.
Talking shape, mate. How are you trying to say?
Well, welcome to the DVDs. This is a working class podcast, mate. You know, welcome to the show.
It's a working class podcast, mate. Are you?
I hope I don't sound like it.
Yeah, is that how I really sound, is it?
I was out there.
That sound like you're on helium, or for fuck's sake.
What about who else from Jerry Adams.
Can you do Jerry?
Give us a Jerry Adams.
You were never in there,
Let me just be very clear now. That's I never was. Aisnean Kirog, Kirog Ara. For what day the sons of Roisin? For what lad wolf tone to a pauper's death?
What about your man Julian from UTV?
Oh, fuck him.
Fuck him.
No.
We asked him to come on the podcast, mate. He was looking money the fuck was come back.
I wouldn't go.
Sam is an invoice. I was like, I mean, fuck off. Julian, is that
is
the
he even? No, but is that even on that continuity in UTV? You don't think it is?
Mate, is that Julian the gay one? Oh, him. He was looking dough. He says, no.
I think he was a budget cut.
Was it?
I think so.
So you didn't do much. You just sat there before EastEnders. Come on.
Yeah,
what? What was he on ITV?
No, he was like the continuity presenter on UTV.
Is he? Have you met him?
I have.
Here, so what? Who's the biggest A-lister you've met then since blown up 10 years ago?
I would know most of the English and Irish celebrities, like at least.
Have you met McGregor?
I haven't. I know there was a write-up about me in the paper saying about a year ago saying that I would support McGregor for president with me as Taoiseach.
Would you?
Not after the recent things that's probably happened.
I don't think the optics are going to be overcome there. I don't think that. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he was ever really a political man in the sense of. Like I think it's just that
McGregor's
I see the thing about it. There's no idea. The majority of people are saying their right message, but they're so frustrated that it's the wrong man.
100%.
But he's the only one who has balls to say stuff, bro.
I do have the actual plan. I've been planning this for years about how we could actually make Ireland work.
Yeah. Go ahead, wanna tell us
manifesto.
Can you tell us yet?
I've been telling you.
I know, but do you want to tell the viewers, or do you want to keep that to yourself?
Have you ever been involved in a fight?
Like a physical fight?
Oh.
Well, maybe.
A few fisticuffs in your life, like?
Not really. I wouldn't be.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Did I walk away from a fight very handy that way?
You wouldn't choose violence?
No.
Yeah, I get you. Would you ever stand for Sinn Féin in your county?
No.
No? It would be your own political party, do you think?
That is just socialism and national dress. There's no plan there at all. They're all, they're reduced to nothing more, in my opinion, than a list of instructions about how everybody else should have these discussions and conversations and meetings and tribunals and inquiries and with no personal contribution to make to the very discussions that they demand.
Yeah.
No, I just think they're useless. They're so absolutely
go out on your own, you would say, start your own political party.
The way that I am going about this is not about parties or anything else. I think that parliamentary democracy in and of itself is an outdated way of governance.
Yeah.
The way that I am going about this is promoting me as a Taoiseach for that one job. You need to assemble somebody else who would be an ideal Minister of Health, somebody else who would be an ideal Minister of Transport, and once you would have the full set, then you would get a party, then you would do the official side, and then you'd go into one.
Have you got people in your mind who you would pick?
Some, not all. Some of those jobs, I'd say it wouldn't be famous people. The idea. No.
Daniel O'Donnell.
Nah, he'd be too soft.
I'm only joking.
But I'll tell you what, if he went up for president, he would get it.
Did you see the video of him before? He's like, I'll go for a chippy.
I go for a chippy.
Have you seen it?
No.
No.
What does it?
Go for a chippy.
He goes, a chippy. Have you seen it?
I've seen that video, but I didn't know who it was. So what way would you deal with that, Roy?
Deal with immigration. Well, this is something that a lot of people's talking about at the minute. The main thing that's coming through is about everybody's talking about it because of McGregor and the White House, but everybody is saying with him, right message but wrong messenger. But the thing about it is everybody's frustrated. It's clear they're frustrated, but there's no clear alternative again on how you would work it. How I would work it, you put out a certain amount of visas every year about in alignment with what the social services can actually absorb, and you let people in that have no health problems, no criminal record, and have a job lined up. And if you have that,
credit and stuff?
Yeah, 100%. And if you had that,
that's fair, like.
Yeah.
See, part of the problem is it's hard to promote Ireland as, know the way they talked about the American dream years ago? It's hard to sell an Irish dream because Ireland is a country that the Irish people move out of as opposed to foreign people move into.
The Irish people are sold by other countries' dreams. To Australia, go to America, go to Canada, go elsewhere.
See when people say it, see Ireland, like, Ireland went a lot of places, but I mean, Ireland are loved all over the world. There's Irish bars in every fucking city in the world.
Irish people are the biggest the network's very in the world. Big.
Yeah.
Irish people are the biggest immigrants in the world. We built fucking half America, built all sorts of fucking places, but you know what I mean?
But this is the thing. There's not people moving into Ireland. This is a very new phenomenon that we're not equipped to deal with.
Yeah.
Joe. And I mean, you're not going to be, the way that you change these social issues and that you're having with mass migration, you know, part of that's down to bad government, but anyway, if I throw them out and take over, that'll sort that. But at the same time then... But then the thing about it is, England had these problems in the fucking 70s, and sure, that's just completely, you know, completely disappeared now. You know what I mean? Ireland's only starting to have these problems now, but you'd have to try to promote it to a type of immigrant that wants to come, that wants to work, that wants to build a great life for themselves, that type of way. But if that type of reality is not really there for us ourselves as Irish people, it's just not really.
If people are going to come in and like, just reap a benefit system, not work, and then get a cash in hand job. It's sort of just fucking, it's the working class that they're paying for it. Like,
they're suffering. Taxpayers, like.
Oh, I would be popular with the taxpayers and the business people, I would say. But no, if you had the temporary visas, a certain amount of them that goes out every year, and you just say, this is what the social services can actually tick to make sure that your schools and your hospitals aren't going to be under pressure with an influx of people that's coming in, and then you're able just to manage the people that do come in to make sure that they're all right and they're coming in for the certain purpose.
They're coming in to work?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, then you're going to get good people coming in. That's what Australia does. That's what a whole pile of countries do. It's just that we never had people coming in them numbers to even have to consider that up to now.
Dubliners, people literally just living in tents in Dublin, isn't there?
I know.
Just
when I was in Australia last year, when I was in Australia, it only took me a week to get my visa when I applied for it. But an Uber guy who was driving me to somewhere one day, he was asking me how long did it take. I said a week. He said they have to wait 2 years, at least 2 years, to get accepted for the visa over. So depending on what country you come from, you make it accepted quicker.
Do you need a visa for here? Like, can anyone just come over here and live?
Or well, people are doing it now. Like, oh, I can't just fucking, like, refugees and...
People only need to come over here.
Yeah.
3 year work visas as well. Like, full accommodation, full work visa.
Aye, for pleasure. There's a lot of people
come over in boats. What when they're took off boat, where do they go? Do they go straight? Do they get sent back?
There's a lot of hotels. A lot of hotels. Like, and that's refugees, the Ibis Hotel in the town. I know that's one.
And that's
get them hotels.
Yeah, they get to stay there basically.
Yeah.
Protest
now,
saying please don't put
these villages can't absorb it. Plus the fact that the infrastructure.
Countries just keep coming and coming and coming. What will happen?
Then there's a big massive influx of people, not enough places to stay and jobs and social services. Things can fucking, what's the word I'm looking for?
Things go up basically.
But if that keeps going on for like 100 years, like what the fuck's going on? Like,
there's not going to be an Irish Ireland. We're just going to be like, we already don't have enough houses. Do you know, I mean, you don't even have enough houses for, you know, not just for the amount of people that's coming in, but even just for Irish people to buy. So the property ladder's completely inaccessible for a new generation now. They're all renting and living with the parents. Now, how I would sort that one? I would have loan products that would go out for people to buy a caravan or a log home or a modular house and try to get people to financial sovereignty at as young an age as possible.
Yeah.
So that's how I would work it. That's how we would get that side sorted, because modular homes, you can get them up in about a quarter of the time.
And they're still fucking very good, neck usable, and
that's what I mean.
Sweet, you know what I mean?
But you know, if you're saving up for a house that you can't afford, then you're just, you know, working to pay it. Then even if you own a caravan that's worth 10 grand, at least you own it, and then I think people would start to reinvest. They would first of all have more disposable income, and they would be able to invest it, I think, into their business ventures, and this is where you would precipitate this mindset in the people from there.
Yeah.
No, so that would be the attitude we'd be going with.
And would you still be bucking grannies in them days?
Hey. No, I've already given that
up. When you become Taoiseach, you still be doing a few grannies?
No, it'll be a different clientele in the Taoiseach and hot tub and Taoiseach.
So here, Roy, different age group. Apart from yourself, mate, who do you think the man to go forward then?
I don't, there's, I would say there's no other suitable candidate.
But by yourself?
No, that's
the one.
Number one. I love going in there. No, but in all seriousness, I do not see anybody coming forward with any actual plan. People give off about what they don't want, but nobody is saying this is what we do want.
Solutions.
I am given proper solutions. Here's the plan. This is how we do it, step by step. And, you know, let's make it happen.
I'll vote for you, like.
Oh, you've got my vote, baby.
100%.
So how do we get you in?
100%.
Where are we going now?
I need the full set. I need the full team. I need a provisional government. And then at that stage, yes, I think we can make it happen.
Well, you've got us on board anyway. That's a good start.
You seem to be a politician or whatever. What is it? Do you need to have done that in school or can anyone?
Oh, no. Well, that's democracy.
Anyone can just go for
you
it.
You can be as useless as you want. The rest
of McGregor's
the rest
done it all right enough.
Sorry, the monk Hutch done it for fuck's sake.
President's different. He probably won't get the nomination for that.
Would you vote for him? If you...
For Connor.
See, like,
nah, I wouldn't vote for
see in Ireland, is it the way America works? Is it 4 years you get it for?
No, seven. But the president of Ireland is, that's
can
different.
I tell you who it is?
It's not.
For America?
No, here.
And oh, here.
It's this wee dwarf, Michael D. Higgins, this wee man. He's like,
the dwarf?
Oh, he's like, he knows everything about everything. He's these small men. He's like a leprechaun. He's these two big dogs with these big dog shit.
Probably about the same size as me.
We are.
What
you're
mean?
Bigger, Gavin.
Oh, you'd be at least half a head, maybe a full head taller than him.
What are we looking down on?
He's just wee
toot
to a man.
Where's he live?
Irish Nookdron.
Is he from Dublin?
I'd vote fucking Hornswoggle. No sweat.
Is he Irish? He is Irish. Or got his
what about CM Punk running about in a Celtic kit with a Celtic belt? Didn't you see it?
Seen people tagging Drew McIntyre under his
reason. Oh, that's why he was trolling him.
But the president, that's another job. I would redo that job description as well. I would say if you were the president of Ireland, I would make you in charge of Irish culture so that you promote all the Irish culture and that to take all the cultural politics out of the government politics, have just sensible people running the government. And then the president's just in charge of, you know, no, like Irish language and Irish culture and music and all that type of stuff. And also, they're in charge of the state-run charities so that the money that's voluntary donations is actually spent on what they're supposed to be for and not wasting them on advertising and all this type of shit. You know, and then you would get the social impact without all these wasting all the taxpayers' money and all this crap that never gets the job done.
You seem like you've got your solutions, your head screwed on, and you know what you want, big man.
Absolutely.
Roy, can you run for that? But I keep forgetting what it's called.
Taoiseach.
It
means
your
chieftain.
At your age? Or do you have to be a certain age to do it?
Yes, you could run for it. But I need to break through with my personal ventures first.
So get the tunes out.
Get the tunes out. Become an auctioneer.
Get the marketing.
Exactly.
Get the brand built. Entrepreneurship side of things done.
But that's it. And I do have the groundwork done. I just have a couple of other battles I need to overcome, but nothing's not going to happen. A
couple of wee obstacles just in the way, and then once you get them done, we're on the up.
But then you can say, look, came from nothing. I fought my way up. Nobody handed it to me. I done it myself. And
came
then,
from nearly getting frostbite, the fucking free in Ireland.
That's it. But then, like, your political aspirations wouldn't work if you didn't have your business side not in order, which is why I haven't been at this moment in time trying to run and push it and everything else.
Yeah, because it's not the right time to do it yet, but it's just what you want to do in the future.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
But after I have broke through, then I'll be very clear and very public about all of these policies and how I'm going to go about it and actively look at assembling a provisional government at that stage.
Yeah.
So that's how the whole thing's working.
Fair play, tell you, Roy, mate.
You've
earned my vote.
You're only 28, Roy, so you've...
Of course.
You've a lot all this hair, you mate.
I know. Oh, it'll be a big legacy. No, 100%. I mean, everybody is talking about these solutions now, like about the problem now, so it is a perfect time to poise myself, so I hope I can get all this sorted in enough time that we don't get some, idiot in that is just a rabble-rouser, or that we're stuck with this provisional government too long that the country's fucking wrecked.
Somebody just telling you what you want to hear again, another puppet type of
thing,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas you're a realist, I believe everything that you're saying, you know what I mean? There's politicians, you come on the TV and you go, full shit, you know what I mean?
I have formulated...
Everything you're saying, I believe it, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I have formulated my own solutions, but I've just looked at, people just look at politics like a game, where if you just look at it like life, and you say, right, here's the problem, just how do we sort it out as opposed to thinking, right, oh, I'm on the right or I'm on the left or what party or whatever. And if you take all that shite to the one side and you just say, right, there's the problem. There's too many people coming into the country. How do you just break the problem up and sort it out.
Yeah.
No, it's a lot more simple at the same time.
If it's that easy, why the fuck don't they sort it?
Because they're... The consent of uselessness. You have to understand the way that the system's wired, right? The Irish state was founded by all of these retired IRA men that, okay, they had made a big sacrifice and put up a big fight with limited resources, but at the same time, they weren't that clued into things like health and education and stuff like that. So they had to protect their own position then, but the thing about it was, they wrote the country out in such a way that you were consistently going to get these other people who didn't have a clue about these type of things. And this is a big part of what my plan's about being able to optimize the quality of political leadership, yeah. You know, to make sure that you're getting good people in, you know, to optimize the talent that, you know, goes into the place in the first place.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
But that's the, you know, but at the same time, I mean, I think if we do have the chance for to redo the constitution going up to United Ireland, I think that's that'll be a big part of what I would like to do.
Well, I hope that everything works out for you, Roy, mate. And we'll I do think it will, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Just that
it is going to be a journey, as I say, for people to even imagine me as their leader that way, but it will fall into place.
You're planting the seed now, do you know what I mean?
That's that.
Well, Roy, mate, thank you for coming on. You're
fucking
wrap it up.
ERC as well. Anyone watching, new episode on Patreon after this every Monday with a new guest, fresh face. If anyone wants,
exclusive jump
on. Support
content.
The lads, support the podcast. Roy, mate, thank you for coming on. See, before you go, mate, the owner of the shop has asked for a wee shout out.
Well, how's it going? That's the voice of your future king here, King Rory the Great. I'm hearing, what do you call this place?
Boutique Infinity Tan and Salon.
Boutique Infinity Tan and Salon in West Belfast. And we're here now just to give a bit of promotion to this place. If you want to get yourself a full body, even tan, or if you want to buy yourself a new white pair of boxers, you're very welcome to come in here. It's the best place in all of Belfast. Luxury boutique. Come on in. We'll see you here.
You wouldn't be long getting sunburned.
Wouldn't be long getting sunburned.
Father, bro, thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming up here to see us as well, mate. And I do have a feeling this is just going to be the start of you coming back up again into people's
consciousness.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.